Okay, let's now move to the regular agenda, and I think we have precisely one item remaining because we moved the others off. So item 149, please, Carla.
Authorize agreements to implement settlement in Wright et al. V. City. Declare property interest acquired through Station Place, Lot 7. Assignment of parking agreement as not needed for public use. Yeah. And authorize disposition through termination of parking agreement.
Thank you very much. I just want to say that there's been a great deal of work put into this effort by people in the community, some of whom are here today, by Commissioner Fritz and by Josh Alpert on my staff, who unfortunately is still away, but who has not been away because he has a telephone, and at all hours of the night in all kinds of time zones has been helping to bring this win-win solution together. So I really appreciate the effort that everyone's made to try to get to a good solution for a good community that needs a home. So bravo all around. Progress, more to come, but thank you for the work so far and for the commitments that people have made here today. Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you, Mayor Hales, and thank you for your partnership. Normally, Josh Alpert of his office would be doing the staff report, but still, since he's still on vacation, I'm going to let folks know what's going on here. And so I'm going to read the history leading up to this ordinance and what we're doing here today. On December 10th, 2012, the city was sued in a declaratory and injunctive relief legal action, which I have no clue what that is. I'm sure the lawyers on this body do, but it was important. In Multnomah County Circuit Court, over the Bureau of Development Services assessed code enforcement fines, penalties, and interests against the property at the northeast corner of Northwest 4th and Burnside. The owners, the Wrights and the Cosettes, had permitted Right to Dream 2 to occupy and undertake rest area activities at that property for assisting houseless persons. On September 25th, 2013, for the purpose of resolving the lawsuit without the need for protracted litigations, the parties in the lawsuit, including the city, with the mayor's assent, executed a settlement agreement and mutual release. I agreed to the city's sign. I signed to that on behalf of the city as the commissioner in charge of the Bureau of Development Services. In that agreement, the city agreed to undertake certain good faith efforts to assist Right to Dream 2 in moving to a Portland Development Commission-owned surface parking lot located adjacent to Northwest Lovejoy Court and underneath the Northwest Lovejoy Street vehicle on ramp to the Broadway Bridge, which is known as Station Place Lot 7 or Lot 7. Prior to finalizing this agreement and moving to Lot 7 as part of the public hearing process, we held a hearing on October 3rd, and Mayor Hales asked me, the staff, and Right to Dream 2 to work with property owners known as the Pearl Group in finding an alternative location suitable for the Right to Dream 2 rest area and its houselessness advocacy activities. We have been working since then to facilitate agreements amongst the interested parties and to broker transactions to meet the intent and the purpose of the settlement agreement. So what this ordinance today does is it allows the Portland Development Commission, or supports the Portland Development Commission, entering into a purchase and sale agreement of Lot 7 to the Pearl Hotel Investors LLC, which is an Oregon limited liability company. Again, I have only a vague knowledge of what that means. A portion of the Lot 7 sales proceeds of $142,000 will be returned to the Urban Renewal District within which Lot 7 is located by law. Station Place LLC and the Station Place Tower Limited Partnership have a parking agreement on Lot 7. They have agreed to assign and transfer their parking agreement encumbrance to the city for a fee of $50,000. And so that's part of what the money coming to us today will pay for. And then the city also has an encumbrance on the parking agreement. And in order to satisfy that termination, Pearl Hotel Investors has agreed to pay the sum of $896,000. $50,000 will go to Station Place, and the remainder will be used for funding an alternative site for relocating Right to Dream 2 that is mutually agreeable to the city and Right to Dream 2. This funding may include but not be limited to the purchase or leasing of an alternative site, improvements to the site, operations. And Right to Dream 2 will work with Mayor and the Mayor and me to identify additional uses for the money if there is any left. That's essentially what most part of the findings in the ordinance say. The directives are that the mayor and I will work cooperatively with PDC so that if the 4th and Burnside property should become a PDC-owned site, then Right to Dream 2 will be allowed to stay at that site until the city finds a suitable alternative in partnership with Right to Dream 2. We direct the director of BDS to refrain from assessing new fines on that property, and we permanently dismissed the fines that had accumulated to the point where the lawsuit was settled. And we will also take reasonable actions in good faith to assist Right to Dream 2 in finding a new site. I know that this has come by very quickly. I first learned of it less than 2 weeks ago. And so I'm going to move to remove the emergency clause so that there's more time to discuss things before the vote next week.
Second.
Okay. Any further discussion on removing the emergency clause? Roll call on removing the clause.
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. Done.
I don't know if anyone from the Pearl Investors is here or if Right to Dream 2 would like to come up and make a short statement.
Anyone like to make a statement about this proposal? Come on up.
I have a sign-up sheet. Are you?
And then we'll go to the sign-up. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. You'll get a chance. Go ahead.
Okay. Hi, I'm Trillium Shannon. I'm a board member and actually, you know, do my best to represent the people who do the real work, who are the dreamers. Many of them are here today, and they work day in and day out to provide safe shelter to hundreds and by this time thousands of people who find themselves without safe shelter in Portland. So we're ready to move forward with this. I thought actually there was a vote today. Did I miss something?
We've taken the emergency clause off, so it won't be immediately effective.
Okay. So, but one of the really important things, the board got together. We had about, I think I heard about this on Thursday, and then on Saturday we had an emergency board meeting. So, again, very short timeline. The board of directors, including people who have disabilities, made the best of all efforts. Every single one of us got together in the middle of a snowstorm on Saturday, and we went word by word through this ordinance. And one of the things that's really important to us is that in B4, you add a very small word, and that is take reasonable actions to assist R2D2 collaboratively in finding a new site. And if there's need for defining collaboratively, we'd be happy to sit down with you and do that. But throughout the process, we've had a lot of frustrations about being left out, even up until recently when we're finding out what kind of real estate is being looked at and not coming up with things that actually meet the guidelines that we've asked for. I find myself thinking that you might be better off hiring members of Right to Dream 2 to do that search than an alternative, firm, because we keep running into the same kind of problems, and we really do have the experts. The people who run Right to Dream 2 are the experts. We have a lot of knowledge. We have people with vast amounts of experience, including people who have helped set up tent cities in Seattle, founders of Dignity Village, people who live day in, day out on the streets, and we have a lot of connections in the community, so we are asking. Through this process, we're willing, I was in front of you not too long ago, pretty angry and upset, and because of the way the process has been going, and we've all decided we would like to move forward, we would like to build trust. That trust isn't there yet, but we're taking a leap of faith with this ordinance, and we'd really like to define what collaboratively working together means so that we all have that same understanding. We do have a democratic process, and that means that each and every Sunday, the Dreamers get together, and they have a mandatory meeting where everyone discusses issues, the board members attend, and we need to be able to bring things back to our community. And then we have a monthly board meeting where we discuss things and meet as needed when emergencies arise. So we have a democratic and collaborative process within our organization. And I'm just asking that we define how our collaboration with the city is going to work. And I also just wanted to mention that I do believe that if we could move faster to set up more models like Right to Dream 2, we would be seeing less people lose their lives, as we saw over this past week with the extreme weather and people freezing to death and dying needlessly on the streets of Portland. So I urge you to work with us and work with the community that wants to help you find solutions, and the solutions do exist. We just have to be brave, and we have to be the ones who are paving the way. And I'm really happy that finally the council is recognizing the model that the Dreamers have worked so hard to make successful over these past 2.5 years.
So it's important to them.
So is Right to Dream 2 a valid Oregon nonprofit corporation and 501c3 status?
We are waiting for our 501c3 recognition. We are a valid Oregon corporation since the beginning, and we expect, based on the letter we received from the IRS, to receive our confirmation this month. I know that there is an expedited process if we're not hearing back from them, because sometimes it takes years. So if we need to hear back from them in order to have access to these resources, that's one of the stipulations the IRS gives, is if you're waiting on a large amount of money and it's contingent on your 501c3 status, that they will expedite that answer. So we need to work on that. We'd be happy to. As I said, we received a letter that puts the date at sometime in February that we should be finding out about our status.
Okay. Thank you. Good. Other questions? Good. Thank you.
So before we move to testimony, I would like to move that amendment to add the word collaboratively in B4 on page 3 of the ordinance, so to take reasonable actions to assist Right to Dream 2 collaboratively in finding a new site.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? Then roll call on adding the amendment, and then we'll take testimony.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. Okay. Now, let's take the sign-up sheet.
Okay. The first three, please come on up, are Lightning, Joe Walsh, and Teresa. Can't read the last name. She may be on the wrong list.
I think that may be okay. From the communications
then,
items.
How about, I believe it's Ken Berry on Tarnahan Court, Happy Valley.
Okay, Lightning, you're on first. Go ahead.
Leah Peace, come on up.
Good morning.
Yes, my company is Portland Lightning, and my name is Lightning. Basically, I do find it interesting you're removing the emergency ordinance. I think you've had ample time to review everything, and I find that rather interesting because you normally don't do that. And that's kind of catching us off guard here. You should have had a vote today, and I find that rather interesting that you've decided not to do that. This has been a very creative deal put together, very generous deal, which ultimately benefits the homeless throughout Portland, Multnomah County. To all the parties involved, exceptional work, job well done. What has been demonstrated by Pearl Real Estate Developers, Homer Williams and Dyke Dames, and the founder of Dignity Village and R2D2, Ibrahim Barabek, if I pronounce that properly, that through their creative efforts, working together, reducing homelessness can and will become a reality. Again, exceptional work. You cannot teach or be taught what is yet to be created. Now, with that in mind, I would like to present some of my ideas to reducing homelessness throughout Portland and Multnomah County. Pertaining to real estate developers in the community, when real estate developers create condominiums, projects from the inception, I would like to see them insert the language 1% of the sales proceeds per every condo sale will be directed to their own foundation, which they create, and these foundations being created will be used in an effort to reduce homelessness projected out in the future. Again, that's every sale. You might have 3 sales in 1 year. We're talking millions and millions of dollars to be funded into your own personal foundations to reduce homelessness in the future. Again, this is 1% being deducted off a standard 7% brokerage fee, which again is directed to your foundation to be applied toward future development projects for the homeless. We must begin developing micro apartments on a large scale, which can run and operate more self-sufficiently. We must maintain a unit price of $75,000 or lower. We need an ample supply of these units, at least up to 5,000. In my opinion, more well-established foundations must offer funding to real estate developers to create, set up a payment plan, and must be provided to maintain a large supply of micro apartments. Mayor Charlie Hales, commissioners, with your influence, please contact some of these established foundations and help facilitate creative financing possibilities for the real estate developers to develop more micro apartments. Thank you.
Thank you. Morning, Joe.
My name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. We take the position of being excited about this deal. Normally, we would object on the basis that the rich seem to be getting their way again. However, R2-D2, for the last few years, has done everything right. Everything. They have not made one blunder that I know of. So I'm very proud of them. I don't speak for them. I only speak for Individuals for Justice. And our position is we want so much for the five of you to do this right. We do. And as much as I criticize you on other issues, on this issue with R2-D2, I think that you've done yeoman's work. You've done good stuff. But you're right at the pinnacle right now. It's really difficult to look at this and say, you know, this could be really good for everybody. This could be a win-win-win. We pray that that's true. And as I look at each one of you, you have the opportunity to become a national city council and do it right. And I think the recommendation that you seriously look at hiring some of the people in R2-D2, because I know you know that I preach all the time, if you want to know what's going on, ask the homeless. So when you go forward with this, you have an opportunity to hire people that really need jobs, that are involved in this process. That's another win. So it could be a win-win-win-win. So think about that. And I applaud you today on this issue. And I'd like to thank all of you, all five of you, for the work that you've done, all the support that you've given Commissioner Fritz. Thank you.
Thank you.
Was there a Leah piece? I've got a list still going. Hiram Asmuth, Barry Sutton, and Dina, did you want to speak? Dina, were you going to speak? Okay. Then let's go with Ibrahim Mubarak. Yes. Okay. Go ahead.
Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Barry.
Yes, please, go ahead.
Yeah. There's plenty of room for everyone. There's a field between Washington. There's a field in back of Washington High School cut by, bordered by 13th and 12th and Stark and Alder in southeast Portland. Enough for everybody. There have been a lot of, get over my fear here, I guess. Something like that. Yeah. There have been a lot of people that have been at St. Francis Church, a lot of people on the sidewalk everywhere around there. And there's room for everybody. Maybe a third of it could go to R2-D2 and a couple thirds to the rest of the homeless people in Portland, and other homeless people in Portland could be outstanding among a lot of the countries. A lot of the states would send people over here to look into it. What are you doing? How can we do this? It's a wonderful opportunity. I don't know that I want to mess it up by trying to explain this to all of you. It's a wonderful opportunity. A wonderful opportunity for the police to learn to relate to people, other than on the oppositional in the oppositional manner, just to help people along. And I believe everyone has a right to just live, not just go get a place and get a shave and clean up and then get a job, but just to live. And then if something arises in the future, then the employment and stuff like that, but not make widgets or little things to take in money. That's our life is more beyond that. I want to go to the Portland Planning and Sustainability Department of the Portland Bureau of Planning. I believe seventh floor, Nicole, and possibly have her make a type of letter for the people in the city council and the mayor about instituting emergency zoning. And then after that can be established, after people can move in there, then I'm sure that some zoning, those people could be I don't know how that their presence could be established legally. This isn't beyond. This is not beyond anyone here in the city council and anyone here in Portland. It's very doable. I can't find words for it. This is a field that would take up many, many people, a couple hundred people or more. And this is exactly how the First Dignity Village was established. Father Mayo helped with $40,000 for several months and provided everything for them. And this was catacorner to St. Patrick's Church. And it was.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Thank you.
And it worked out, except the land was owned by the Department of Transportation. They needed to move stuff in. I want to work with all of you, especially Commissioner Fritz, whose field is owned by the Parks Bureau and is property of the City of Portland, to establish this. And it can be done. I know it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
You're welcome. Right.
Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Hiram Asmuth. I'm somebody who works for FilmThePolicePDX.com. We're a volunteer organization. We film officers in the course of action just to make sure that they are acting responsibly. And it's also kind of a defense for the officer, too, because often when somebody is being filmed as they're being apprehended, it kind of calms the situation down. To be perfectly honest with everybody here, I apologize in advance for not using platitudes when I refer to the sweeps, but there's a stark and cold-blooded irony and that you guys were just talking for about 25 minutes with somebody who is working on behalf of people who are calling on crisis intervention lines, and at the same time contributing to that very crisis with the nature of the way the police enforce homeless policy. You're talking about a situation. Sorry, guys. I'm not homeless. I'm fortunate to not be. I'm fortunate to have skills, you know, that I learned throughout school that allow me to get a job and, you know, somehow keep myself off the streets. But there's plenty of people in the streets. There's only so many bridges. There's only so many shelters. And when you take a man or a woman's tent away from them, you are evicting them from their very house. You are repossessing their house. You are repossessing their possessions. You are taking their medicines. This is sickening. You want to talk about mental illness? What about somebody who needs those prescribed medicines and they don't have an ID? It's really difficult to get a freaking ID here in the state of Oregon. I can tell you that from firsthand nature. I had my wallet stolen a while ago. It took me 6 weeks. It took me 6 weeks. I had to communicate with my mom in Santa Cruz, California, get her to get what you call a certified copy from the hospital as opposed to an actual copy, which is what I had, and I thought that was fine. I was wrong. It took me forever just to get an ID. Now, if I was homeless and I didn't, God forbid, maybe I don't have my mom. Maybe I lost her, you know. Maybe I don't have access to the place in Georgia or in Tennessee where I was born, and I need to get that ID, and I lose my medicine because an officer of the law who is protecting and serving me is taking my medicine, who is that protecting and serving? You, Mayor Hales, have the power to dictate police policy. There's this thing called an emergency clause. You, collectively, as city council, can do damn near anything you want with an emergency clause. Where is the emergency clause for the homeless people in this city? Oregon is not friendly to the homeless population, and Portland is a shining example of that disrespect. When you're talking with people for 25 minutes about how to treat crisis prevention and how to treat mental illness, and you're disregarding the fact that you, in fact, are the propagators of said mental illness, I find that just disgusting, reprehensible, criminal, and prejudicial at best. So what I'm asking you is to review the current police procedures and policies, stop the fucking sweeps, and stop this disenfranchisement of so many hundreds of people that are currently on the streets and in snow and dying because of your police procedure. Thank you.
Okay, I'm Ibrahim Mubarak. I just want to go off what everybody is saying, that the houseless people are the expert in houselessness. And you all need to work with us more. We're not those houseless people back when your grandfather were. We houseless people, we educated, we smart, we know our rights, we attractive, we friendly, and we love it. But we know what we're doing. And you need the partnership with us. Right to Dream 2 gave you a recipe, and you left out the main ingredients, and that was the houseless people. So you need to put that back in there so we can collaborate together. I mean, not just over email, but meet face-to-face and talk, and then you really know how we want things done instead of guessing and keep coming up with strife. That's all I had to say.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
So in the spirit of not keeping me guessing, I'm curious why the proposed settlement ordinance states that the $846,000 must be spent on property within a 1.5-mile radius of the Portland building. I mean, my knowledge of real estate prices says that's going to be very tough to find something in that price. So you're the one who's kind of espoused that. I've heard you through the media. So why? Why 1.5 miles radius of Portland building?
Well, because we want to keep it within a vicinity of the hub of the social services. That's why. And it's easier for people to get there. If you notice, people have their backpacks, shopping carts, buggies, and they can't get on the mass transportation with that on. And they don't have money. Now the bus fare is $2.50 one way for about an hour. Some people don't work. Some people save their money to go to work. So it's becoming, the farther you push us out, the harder it is for them to get services.
I'm just thinking straightforward in terms of real estate prices. I mean,
well,
you're sort of picking the most, you know, that's probably the highest price real estate radius also is what I'm.
Well, I mean, you can give us more money so we can stay in the downtown area.
Yeah. We wouldn't turn that down.
It's also where the zoning is appropriate for the use, so that's part of it too, that most of the CX and EX zoning is in that area. The other part that we heard at the October 3rd hearing was that people have jobs who stay at night in Right to Dream, and as we know, downtown is the hub for those jobs. So they need to, as Ibrahim said, they need to be able to get there. It's very important to recognize that it's not the same people living at Right to Dream 2 for long periods of time. There's a lot of turnover, so people need to be able to get to the place to be able to get in line to get a shelter for the night, the same as other shelters.
Right. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Okay, good. Thank you. Other questions? Thanks, Ibrahim. Thank you. Thanks very much. Okay, let's take the next group.
I believe that's all who signed up.
Okay. Anyone else want to speak? Then, come on up, Charles.
I'd like to say that.
You want to go back to consent?
Good morning, Commissioners. Thanks for recognizing me. And for the record, my name is Charles Johnson. And I think it's important to address a core issue implicit in Commissioner Salzman's question. Not so much the reason for the 1.5 miles, but what's happening within the 1.5 miles. And the reason is that this city council and the people this city council has chosen to appoint to the Portman Development Commission are not interested in development as improving the general quality of society. The Portland Development Commission is a wealth transfer tool to pretend to develop the city of Portland while enriching the few and not creating good-paying jobs. And what you need to do is have the Portland Development Commission come before us, talk about the actual property they have that doesn't actually require any money. I don't know what they're going to do with the Belmont and Goat land, but that's not very far from the other area of empty land that Barry spoke to you about. So it is time for this council that has appointed the members of the Portland Development Commission to make sure that they understand that their role is not simply to create lucrative deals that don't even satisfy the people of groups like the Portland African American Leadership Fund. You need to work more with the Portland Development Commission to make them develop livable, loving cities, not cities that enrich developers who have the right political connections. I know you sometimes do that. There's a project in St. John's that was small scale and has popular neighborhood support. But we cannot avoid the issue that while we're making these negotiations with Right to Dream and making these settlements, part of the problem is that the Portland Development Commission is too focused. I'm sure they have a charter that they think limits them to, in certain economic ways, but the fact is that the way it's being used now is hurting citizens of this city, and it's your job as elected representatives to make sure that they use it in the most conducive way to improving the quality of life for all citizens, not just ones that can buy investment properties. As you know, behind the Nordstrom next to Director's Park is some property that was owned by rich people, and it was sort of dumpy for years and years, and those people never experienced the level of persecution that you give to the people who are swept from the streets of the city. So let's at least be honest about the situation here in Portland. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That sure reminds me that I neglected to thank the Portland Development Commission for their role in this from the very beginning when they helped us search for a suitable site and allowed the settlement agreement to move forward with Lot 7. Certainly took a lot of heat for that. They have been great partners for Right to Dream 2 and for me, and have been very instrumental in getting to this agreement today. So I am very grateful to Patrick Quinton, the executive director, and to Scott Andrews, the chair. Just a factual information, they don't own the current Belmont Goats site. They are allowing the Belmont Goats to move to a site owned by PDC in Lentz. So it's certainly been popular for the last 10 years or more to vilify the Portland Development Commission. In my workings with them, they have been very honorable and have been part of this. I also want to respond to Ms. Shannon and others who are questioning the removal of the emergency ordinance. I received a request at 9 o'clock this morning from one of my colleagues to remove the emergency ordinance. So as a courtesy, I did that. I'm wondering, based on this discussion, whether any of my colleagues still want another week or whether you'd be ready to vote today.
Well, I'm the one who asked that the emergency clause be removed, and I do need another week. I think what I'm wrestling with, and I all due respect to the mayor and Commissioner Fritz, Right to Dream 2, the Pearl Investment Group, PDC, but I think as some of my questions have implied, what I'm still wrestling with is, $846,000 is a lot of money. And I need more, hopefully in the ensuing week, more framework and definition about how that money will be spent. Questions such as who actually would own the property that's purchased? Does the city own it and give Right to Dream 2 a perpetual use agreement or a three-year renewable use agreement or what? So I guess I need some framework and definition around that. And then, frankly, while I said $846,000 is a lot of money, it's a lot of money in every respect except one, and that is trying to purchase or lease property that is the most highly sought after property in the downtown core. I'm just not sure $846,000 is going to do that. And while the response was, well, we can always find more money, and I guess that's where I start to also get worried, because as housing commissioner, I want to make sure that we're not taking funds that we're investing diligently and of utmost necessity in affordable housing I don't want to set up a dynamic where its affordable housing money is bleeding over into Right to Dream 2, to be quite honest. So I'm just thinking out loud. This is the stuff. That's why I've asked the emergency clause. I'm not prepared to vote for it today. I will wrestle with these questions and hopefully get more information and framework and definition about how the money will be spent in the ensuing week, and then I'll cast my vote accordingly.
So the ordinance assigns the mayor and me to work with that. Although you said, with all due respect, it doesn't sound like you trust us to do that. But I would...
Please. And
it's right. It's true. We Right to Dream 2, and I recognize that it's not probably enough money to do the things that we want it to do. It's another step in this process. This ordinance is to accept the money that is being graciously donated in order to assist Right to Dream 2 and so that the Lot 7 alternative becomes off the record, off the table. So that's what this ordinance is doing. It's implementing the settlement. It's declaring the property interest acquired through this a surplus, and it's authorizing the disposition of it needed for the parking agreement. Right to Dream 2, and I would love to have a lot more certainty about what happens next, too. We're not going to have that between now and next week, because this is not about the next step. This is about this step, resolving the lawsuit, resolving the settlement agreement, accepting this money, and then we will figure it out. And if necessary, we'll come back to council with whatever that next step is. Right to Dream 2 has never taken any housing money or any tax money other than the $1,000 that was allocated to do the property search. That's part of their model, is that they don't rely on public subsidies. They provide shelter at no cost to the taxpayers and have helped hundreds of people be safe and warm. So I think it's a model that I certainly support. It's not part of the Housing Bureau's model with Housing First, and I recognize that. It's a part of the solution, and I, as the commissioner in charge of the Bureau of Development Services, want a solution on this site. This afternoon, I'm going to be going to the opening of the Community of Hope, which is a new shelter for women and their children organized by the Red Sea Church. That was very difficult to figure out through the zoning code, how could this be allowed by right. And my brilliant staff in Development Services have worked with the community, and it's a very supportive neighborhood, who are saying, yes, it's not okay for women and their children to be out on the streets in this kind of weather or in any kind of weather. That's not who we are as Portlanders. So we need to be looking at a range of alternative solutions. I recognize, Commissioner Salisbury, you're the housing commissioner. You're going to decide what to do with the Housing Bureau budget and make recommendations to council as part of the budget process. That's not what this is about. This is about the next step in this process of where Right to Dream 2 can exist legally.
So folks, please, let us continue our discussion up here. So Dan, this is going to come back for second reading next week. In the meantime, I'll try to make sure that you get the answers to those questions from both me and Commissioner Fritz and from our staffs who have worked on this proposal. Those are legitimate questions about how the funds will be used. It's reasonable to raise them, but I think it's also reasonable to proceed. For everybody who may be wondering, this will come back for second reading. That means the council will vote next week. That does not mean that we'll take public testimony or that we'll take amendments. That the proposal that's now been discussed by the council and that's we've heard testimony on, we'll get an up or down vote by the city council at our next week's meeting.
Mayor, if I could just also clarify for anyone watching, when we have an emergency ordinance, it requires a unanimous vote.
Right.
When we take the emergency clause off and we take it to a second reading, it passes with a simple majority vote. So that is technically the difference. So right. I think we are concluded on this matter.
And give you a chance to speak on this, Mr. Kramer.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, my name is Mark Kramer. I'm an attorney with the National Lawyers Guild, and I've been the attorney representing Right to Dream 2 and the owners of the site on 4th and Burnside. And I just want to thank Commissioner Fritz and the mayor for your leadership in reaching this solution. It's a step forward. It's an important step forward. In particular, we would not be here but for thinking outside the box, and that's what Commissioner Fritz has done, and that's what your office has done in coming to this place. In answer to Commissioner Salzman's questions, we're going to work, that's why we inserted the word collaboratively, with your office, Commissioner Fritz's office, and the mayor's office about the most effective utilization of these funds, and that's what we intend to do in the future. So I just want to thank you for your leadership and for thinking outside the box.
Thank you. And your old friend Ray Suarez says hello.
Oh, thank you.
All right, this returns for second reading next week.
Mr. Mayor.
And we have one, I'm sorry, we do have, sorry.
I was going to make one more comment, but I can wait until next week.
All right. And then we have an interest on the council in returning to one of the items in the consent calendar. If we're going to do that, that will require a motion for reconsideration by someone who voted in favor of
the consent agenda. I was not able to vote on the consent agenda because I was tied up, so we're just going to do a motion of reconsideration.
Which item?
The whole thing. Just the whole
consent
thing.
Agenda. All right.
So
there a motion?
I move to reconsider the consent agenda.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. And then do we need to take a roll call on the motion to reconsider? I think we do. Yes. Carla, roll call, please.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. Okay, so we have the consent calendar in front of us again. Commissioner Fish?
Nope, just move for a vote.
Oh,
nope.
And we still have one for Form 43 pulled, right?
Yes. So same consent calendar. Commissioner Fish wanted the opportunity to vote in favor of it. So now roll call on the consent calendar, please.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. Okay, and we are recessed until...
No, we got one.
No, we still have a pulled item.
Sorry,
the
143 to the regular agenda.
Oh, we pulled it to the regular agenda. Sorry, I thought we'd pulled it, period. Okay, item 143.
Authorize a contract and provide for payment for the construction of the Southeast Clinton Carruthers System Improvements Project number E08662 for $2,480,000.
Commissioner Fish, any comments on this before we vote on it? It's a second reading.
No, I was pleased, though, that we were able to pull it and have a presentation on the benefits of gray and green and the way in which these projects save ratepayer dollars. So thank you, Mayor.
Yes, they do. Roll call, please. Second reading.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Novick.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye. And now we're recessed till 2 p.m.